Today, we'll see if you can put up with the dad who's going to brag about his daughter a little bit. But my oldest daughter is a sixth grader, and she has started running cross country. Yeah! It's a sport that requires a lot of character, and watching her run has been really inspiring to me this year, and it's brought me back to my glory days of running cross country when I was in high school. And I remember a time when I was in a bus, and we bused from our school to Kickapoo, I'm not making that name up, Kickapoo State Park. It is about a 20-minute bus ride, and it was a hot day in August, and we were getting ready in the hot, muggy weather to run several miles in cross-country practice. Now, believe it or not, I don't like to run. Who likes to run, right? Nobody. Not very many people, and I'm no exception either. I don't like to do it, but I like how I feel afterwards. So I'm just thinking, oh, I'd had a long day at school. It was really hot. I'd been in a bus, and I'm just completely unmotivated. And I did not want to run, and I was about ready to make a decision that I didn't know it at the time, but it was really going to have a big impact on me later in life. I'm not going to tell you about that decision yet, but I'll do it a little bit later. First, I want to talk about you. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like you were supposed to do something that you just did not want to do? Right? Just coming to church this morning for some of us, right? Like, I didn't want to get up. I didn't want to get the kids ready, but I made it. So this is just a human thing that we deal with a lot of times, whether it's with family, whether it's getting out of bed in the morning, work, school, the tedious things of life. Sometimes it's just really hard to be motivated, and there's something maybe that we feel like we're being asked to do, and we just don't want to do it. We don't want to do it. We feel unmotivated. So this morning we're going to talk about motivation a little bit and kind of its role in our lives. And as we get into it, thinking about how we can be people who get to the next level. Now, our context here today is definitely about spiritual growth. As disciples of Jesus, we're supposed to be growing. We're supposed to be becoming more like Him in character. Exuding, when the Holy Spirit works in us, we exude the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We're more loving of God and more loving of other people. So we're all hoping to maybe get to the next level, to grow, to have more Christ-like character. And there are other areas of life where we want to grow too. Maybe it's sports. Maybe it's with work. You're trying to get to a higher level. So within that, we're thinking about motivation. We're going to turn to the biblical book this morning of Hebrews. Hebrews is a mysterious book because we don't know who wrote it. There are some people who think Paul. A lot of people who think that Paul did not write it. Paul, on all of his other letters in the Bible, he has his name on it. In Hebrews, Paul's name is not in this. What we do know about the author of Hebrews is that this author knew quite a bit about the Old Testament. We have Old Testament references. Hebrews is a New Testament book, and all throughout Hebrews, we have Old Testament references. So it's somebody who has a Jewish background, probably, maybe, steeped in Old Testament thinking. And we also know that the person was familiar with Timothy. We hear about Timothy and presumably getting out of prison near the end of the book. So it's a person who was acquainted with Timothy, who's also acquainted with Paul. So it's mysterious, and it's rich, and it's interesting. Maybe the most well-known chapter in Hebrews is chapter 11. That's not bankruptcy. That sounds kind of bad, doesn't it? Chapter 11. But Hebrews chapter 11 is what some people call the hall of faith. Hebrews 11 starts with the definition of what faith is, and then the writer talks about a lot of people who exuded faith. A lot of the Old Testament well-known people who most of the time stood up to some adversity and had faith and persisted. And then some people that we've never heard of and who remain anonymous even in Hebrews, who had so much faith they were willing to give their lives, to suffer, to be tortured, because they had faith that this isn't all that there is and that God would reward them for their faith. So that sets the stage for Hebrews 12, which is where we're going to be today. Because therefore is the first word, and that points us back to Hebrews 11. Like I said, the definition of faith and the stories of faith, people who held on to it and believed that God was going to reward despite whatever was happening. So, Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, the word cloud can be a little bit distracting here, but cloud is a term that a lot of ancient writers used to describe just a big group of people. So you don't have to picture the wispy, fog-like clouds or fluffy. This is just describing a big group of people. And he's already pointed us back to that. People from the Old Testament, people who have sacrificed for their faith. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And in this, I did consult quite a few commentaries to see what some biblical scholars think about this verse. And one theme that was pointed out by many biblical scholars is that it does not seem that the author here is saying that we have people who have already died that are sitting and watching us. That it's not that they're in heaven or somewhere else and we can't see them, but they're watching us. F.F. Bruce, one of those biblical commentators, says, it's not so much they who look at us as we who look to them for encouragement. So, I think, and a lot of scholars think, what's being conveyed here is it's like a race. It's like an endurance race, and there's a big crowd watching people. It's a stadium, it's a crowd, people cheering others on. And people getting their motivation from those in the crowd. When runners are running, especially a long race, the crowd's cheering them on. Keep going, don't quit. And runners get a lot of encouragement from that when people are saying, you can do it, we believe in you. But the encouragement comes not because the crowd is watching and audibly cheering, but because the runners are looking to the crowd. The runners know that the people in the crowd, the great cloud of witnesses, are still being encouraged from them because they know that they lived through it. I know that in a crowd, when I'm in an athletic event, which isn't very often, but I know like who's in the crowd matters to me. Like if I'm at a sporting event and people are there, like I'm too old to care anymore. But I'll tell you what, if my wife is in the crowd, I'm a little extra motivated. Because I get encouragement. I want her to see me doing well because our history, our story together, she inspires me. Or my kids, if my kids are there, man, I don't want to look like a fool. So this is saying, take comfort from those who are in the crowd. This is about the stories. So in this picture that we're getting of running in a race, we're looking to the crowd for encouragement. We're looking at a great cloud of witnesses, people who've gone through hard times before and yet came out on the other side, or people who really believed in something and were willing to do something really hard, and we can be inspired by their examples. So moving on in Hebrews 12, it says, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. You know, when runners, I've been watching cross-country runners lately, and there's something about their uniforms that I've noticed. A lot of the runners, when they run, they wear a helmet and shoulder pads. They wear really heavy clothes. They usually wear, like, combat boots. Okay, that's sarcastic, isn't it? I think everybody knows that long-distance runners, what do they do with what they're wearing? They wear light clothes, light shirts, light shoes, as little weight as possible. Right here, even that term that's being used, let us lay aside every weight, it's conveying a runner that's just stripping its layers and going because it's getting serious about the run. In practice, runners may wear sweatsuits or even some weights, but man, when it's time to run, when it's time to race, layers are going off because we can't have any weight because the weight slows us down. There are things in life that slow us down from the race that God has set us out to do. And it says next, and the sin which clings so closely. Here again, that this image, this word about clinging closely, it's a word about clothes. It conveys clinging so tightly that it hinders movement. And the image that I got in my head when I was thinking about clothes that are just too tight when it's hard to move is the movie The Christmas Story. When Ralphie's brother, some of you know this movie, his brother gets dressed up in all the layers in a snowsuit and he can't move. Because the clothes are just clinging too, it's too close. It hinders movement. And some clothes, that maybe you have an outfit or a lot of layers where you can't move as well. And that's what the author here is describing, that man, when we're running this race, we want to just throw off those things that are weighing us down and keeping us from running forward. We want to get rid of the sin which keeps us from moving forward, because that's what sin does to us. It strangles us. It hinders our movement forward. And so the encouragement is to get rid of it. Strip the layers. Don't let anything on you that keeps you from going forward, because this race is hard. It says next, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. This race is not a sprint. This race is not easy. It's difficult. Now, it's easy to be enthusiastic in a cross-country meet or a marathon at the beginning. At the starting line, you feel that adrenaline. You can run really fast if you want to, but I do not advise that. It's not a good strategy. This is not a sprint. It's easy to have that enthusiasm at the beginning of something. But man, passion kicks in when you're ready to quit. Passion really is revealed when it's hard and when you don't want to keep going. Endurance means to keep going even when you want to quit. Again, I gave the disclaimer so I can do it, right? If you give a disclaimer, that means you can say whatever you want, right? So my daughter had two races this week. The first race, she had not her best time, but she had a splitting cramp, and she ran the whole race. The second race, she had her best time. She ran really well, had her best time. As a father, which race do you think I was more proud of her to watch her run? The best time when she's cruising along, or when she's got the gut-wrenching, horrible cramp where she can barely keep moving, but she refuses to stop? The first one, right? They're both great. As a father, you're going to be proud. But that's what real endurance is. It's that cramp, and you keep going. You hurt and you ache. You don't feel like doing it, and you do it anyway. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. A psychologist named Amy Morin had a lot of tragedy in her life. She had a husband die, her father, and she was getting ready to experience the loss of her father-in-law. And she sat down and typed at her computer this list that said, as she's doing a blog, 13 things that mentally strong people don't do. And she published it, and all of a sudden it just goes everywhere. It goes viral. And all of a sudden the news shows are wanting to talk with her, publishers, and she published this book from this list. 13 things mentally strong people don't do, which she just typed out in a moment of deep pain and desperation, just heavy loss, blow after blow. And number 13 that she lists is that mentally strong people don't expect immediate results. She observes how the overnight successes and immediate results are largely a myth. Sometimes we think somebody's an overnight sensation. What we don't see is the years of hard work, the frustration, how difficult it is. Based on what list you see, I saw one list that said the company Amazon. Anybody ever heard of Amazon? Right? Anybody used Amazon this morning? Amazon, the data that I saw said that it took 9 years for this company even to make a profit. For the first several years, it lost a lot of money. But Amazon had to stick with it. So 9 years, 7, 8, 9 years, the reports are a little different. But anyway, a company like Amazon, it took them a long time to even make a profit. Mentally strong people don't expect immediate results. Overnight successes and immediate results are a myth. Just like we have a great fable in our culture, the tortoise and the hare. And this one is just such a great story, because there's so much truth, I believe, is communicated through it, where the hare starts out so much faster and gets a great start, but the tortoise just stays along steady pace and beats the hare. The tortoise beats the hare. The people who stick with it finish. It's not the fast starters. It's those who have endurance. Those good things come to those who endure. Hebrews, so move along in Hebrews. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Now, in a big race, a lot of times there's a ton of runners running in a cross country or a marathon, a mini marathon. There's a lot of people running. And almost everybody, except for one person, is following someone. Almost everybody. The term here for founder, the author, Pastor Brandon used that term today. The author is also used. Another way that we could describe this would be a leader or champion. This is one that's going before us, who's ahead of us, that we're following. We're looking to Jesus, the one who's in front of us, the one who's out in the lead. He's the founder and perfecter, the author and perfecter of our faith. I even heard yesterday in a race I was watching, one of the coaches yelling encouragement, and what he said was, "Hey guys, focus on the carrot." And what that meant was, find a person who's just ahead of you, and you focus on that person and try to catch them. And Hebrews is saying something similar with Jesus. Lock in with Jesus. I know it's hard. I know you hurt right now, but find that carrot. Find Jesus. He's the champion. He's the leader. He's the one who set the path for us. Look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Let's follow Christ. Hebrews goes on to say, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Life is difficult. A lot of days it's an endurance contest. Murphy's Law takes over sometimes, where it's one bad thing after another that we can find and focus on. Life can be very difficult. Doing right is often costly. It's a lot easier to do the easy things than it is to do the right things. But it's more difficult. It's more difficult to endure. It's easier to stop and to quit. It's easier to get weighed down and slow down. It's easier to be hindered and not move forward. Life is difficult. Jesus said as much in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7 when he acknowledged that most people don't find it. Most people don't stick it out. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Race is difficult. Most people are not going to bother. Are you going to get weighed down in the race? Are you going to be entangled by sin and keep moving forward? Are you going to quit? Are you going to keep going? Zig Ziglar says, failure is the path of least persistence. When we're following Christ, it takes persistence. When we're running that race that's marked for us, there's times we want to quit. And failure is when we just don't persist. It's the path of least persistence. It's the easy way, the easy road that Jesus talked about that doesn't lead to good places. Are you going to embrace difficulty and run with endurance and passion? There's the easy way. Most people take it. You'll have plenty of companions and peers along the way. And there's the hard way. And it requires endurance. It requires keep going when maybe it seems like everybody else has stopped. It requires passion, discipline. So let's look at an application verse. We're going to skip down to Hebrews 12:7. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? The path to the next level is not a magic pill. It's not three easy statements. It's not five payments of $9.99 or whatever it is. It's not easy. The path to the next level requires endurance. It requires persistence. It requires discipline. John Maxwell, one of his sayings is, motivation gets you going, but discipline keeps you growing. We have to be disciplined if we want to grow. It's not going to happen on magic. We have to be proactive and take action. Jesus calls his followers disciples. What word do you think is really close to that? Discipline. Do you hear how important discipline is with disciple? Same root. Disciple discipline. We're called to be disciplined, to be intentional about being more disciplined in our faith. Now, I know this is not a popular American message. Discipline is a word that I know I resist, and probably you do too, a lot of you. But if we're going to be serious about that, being disciples of Jesus, we need to take discipline seriously. If we want to experience what lasts, as was pointed out this morning about how it's faith, it's love, faith, hope, and love that lasts, that remain, and that love is patient. It always perseveres. We need to take this seriously. So I want to encourage you. I believe the Holy Spirit will speak to each one of us about what we need to do and to be serious about discipline, at least in some area of our faith. Maybe for you, that'll be getting up a little bit earlier and starting out by saying, God, speak to me, and reading a passage of Scripture, just seeing what God has to say to you for that day. Maybe it's taking a moment at night and being intentional to pray with your spouse or pray with your kids and have a time where you focus on God. Maybe that discipline, I don't know what it will say to you, but maybe it's about giving. Maybe it's about serving an area that you know you've let slide, but it's just time to do it, to be disciplined. Being a disciple is more than discipline, but it's not less. Jesus calls us to be disciplined in how we follow Him. So I want to encourage you, listen to the Holy Spirit, and if you're a disciple of Christ, try to listen and maybe think about a way that you can be intentionally disciplined in your faith, because it will pay off. Let me go back to that decision I made on that bus with cross country. I thought about quitting, honestly. I was just doing it for a while just because I wanted to get in shape with basketball, and our coach made us do something in the fall. I thought, is it worth it to go out here and run these hot, muggy August days? But that day, I went to practice and I did just as well as I could. Simple as that. Nothing crazy happened that day. I didn't improve my time by 5 minutes. But that day where I just really didn't want to do it and I felt like quitting, I did it anyway. And I'm so much better because of that, and probably because of a million other little times where there's something I didn't want to do and I did it. H.P. Lydon says, what we do on some great occasion will depend on what we are, and what we are will be the previous years of self-discipline. God has something great for us. The tortoise beats the hare. Discipline, steady growth, doing those things sometimes when we don't want to do it, it pays off. As says, and let this encourage you from Galatians 6:9. So I want to say to you, I fail at this all the time. Don't think if you ever fail in discipline, you're done. But this is just an encouragement saying that there's a better future, but it's going to be hard and it's going to require discipline. Galatians 6:9 says this, let us not grow weary in doing good. Because we get weary, we get tired of it, we want to quit. But for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Great things are coming to those who persevere. Will you be part of that? You can do it. And just closing, one reason why I know you can do it is because you've just listened to a sermon. Congratulations, you endured it. You can do it. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, you are the author and the perfecter of our faith. Thank you for the great cloud of witnesses that surround us. Thank you for the stories of people who have faith and endure. Those people inspire and encourage us. Help us to become people of endurance. Life is hard. Sometimes we get weighed down. Sometimes we get entangled in sin and we can't move forward. But help us to throw off all that hinders so that we can run the race you have marked for us. Remind us of Jesus who endured pain and hostility so that we will not grow weary and give up. And in the moments when we are unmotivated and when we want to quit, give us grace and strength to be disciplined in doing what is good. Empower us to keep doing the work so that we will eventually enjoy the harvest that awaits those who do not give up. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.